Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
Welcome, guys. Yeah, we've got a small group here tonight. I want to welcome you anyway, and maybe the rest of you are watching online. But anyway, it's good to be here, a small group, large group, doesn't matter. But God's presence is here. We're going to have a time of worship, time of prayer, and a time of teaching. So let's get started with some prayer requests. Father God, I want to lift up Brother Tim Morrill, who's going through some tough stuff right now, Father. So I just pray, Father God, that you'd be with him and his wife, Father, that you would just minister to what he's going through, Lord. Just touch him, Lord. Just give him peace and guidance, Father, as you desire, Father, as you see fit. You know what Tim's needs are, Lord. We pray a blessing upon him, Father. And I want to lift up our brother Ed Jeffers, as always, Father. We just pray your hand to be upon him, that you would perform a miracle on his body, Lord. And just give him peace in spite of his circumstances, Father. And I know Renee usually has some requests for his brother-in-law and sister-in-law for healing for them, Father. And I just pray for them, Father, that you just touch them and heal them, Father. And Lord, of course, we just pray your blessing upon this evening, Lord. We just pray that you would have your way tonight, Father, as we just seek to glorify you, Father. And our desire is to lift you up, Father, and allow you to minister to us, Father. So we pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to what you have to say to us individually, Father. So we just pray your blessings on this night in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
How you doing tonight, brothers? Yeah. Doing well. We had some excitement at the house today. Had three police cars show up. Yeah. Grandkids were at the house, and they were just having a good time, but they were screaming, right? And so I kind of needed that peace that passes all understanding in my house as you're preparing lessons, but that kind of didn't happen today. I got a lot of screaming memes. Anyway, the police showed up. I told them, you know, I guess someone was walking by and reported us that there was screaming coming out of the house. So never a dull moment at the Booth household, I'll tell you. That's kind of how, you know, this afternoon went. So, man, the enemy, he's always out there to try and get the best of you, take away that joy. But, you know, they walked in, they were really cool. Hey, and we're talking La Palma. La Palma is a very small city, so they have nothing better to do. We have a call! So they show up. Well, couple things, about National Day of Prayer. Yeah, don't forget about that, but also don't forget to dress warmly, because sometimes we've had years that it's actually kind of lightly sprinkled, maybe even call it rain, because we had to go under the overhang. So dress warmly. It's better to have something too much and take it off than not have enough. So a blanket is always cool. Bring a chair. A folding chair, that's always handy because the seats get a little bit, the cement gets a little bit tough if you're like me, to where I don't have any padding anymore, right? So I get bruised. So don't forget about those. And don't miss out on the men's breakfast. Also on May 4th, I don't know if you guys are available, but they're having the ladies' tea that day. And Mike Mashad always needs helpers for that. So if the Lord puts it on your heart to kind of help out the ladies, help serve food, their drinks, fill their water cups, it's really easy. You wear black pants, white shirt. They provide kind of an overall for you. But it's a good time to just spoil our ladies, because they deserve it, right? Alrighty, well, tonight we'll be continuing our study in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. God willing, we'll finish it off. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for being that still, small voice when the whole world is screaming at us, Lord, for just being that stable rock that we can count on, that we can always go back to, that we can attach to, that you're our strong foundation, no matter what storm of life is kind of throwing our way. And we thank you, Lord, for being that God that is so faithful, that we can always count on, no matter what we're going through. So, Father, we ask you to be our teacher tonight. Lead us and guide us through your word, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. And all men said, amen, amen, amen. And welcome, brothers or sisters online. We don't always do a shout-out to you every week, but hey, we're glad you're here watching before, watching after, or even re-watching. That's cool, too. So anyway, let's get right into it. Some of you might remember Annie Berry from the church. You guys remember Annie? Yeah, Annie, a sweetheart. Pam and I were gone for a couple weeks during Easter, got to spend some time with her her sister, brother there in Tennessee. Then we went south, saw some friends in Georgia, and then we went over to see Annie in Alabama. Really cool. And I'll tell you, from the time we walked in her door, she was shoving brownies down our mouth. I mean, for just Pam and I, she made these two huge trays of brownies. Not only that, two huge trays of lemon bars. And for that, on top of that, she made salmon, two huge things of salmon and pork chops. This was one night, right? We walk in the door and she starts feeding us. But what one thing I noticed was that Southern comfort that you get from really Southern hospitality. In the mornings, I was able to wake up early and I sat in this comfy chair, you know, put my legs back, doing my devotions, just time with God. And I thought, you know what? What are the things in life that bring us comfort? I know some might think of, you know, comfort being a warm fireplace with some hot cocoa up in the mountains and cuddle up there and you're just watching the fire and getting some time with someone you love or some family members. Some like spas and jacuzzis, kind of relax. Some like to take walks at the beach. Any of you? Yeah, that time with God, yeah. Just spending that time with him, we find comfort there, right? We find comfort in prayer. We find comfort in the fellowship of the saints, even here tonight. We find that release from the tensions of the rest of the world. And I'll tell you, all of these are great ways to spend our life to remove some of the daily stress of life. But where do you find comfort in hard times of life? In broken relationships, maybe being fired at work, where that's your only source of income for your entire family. Maybe when our finances go down the tube, you go, where do we find that comfort? In times of sickness, you even hate saying that word, cancer. You know, it scares the heck out of you, just that fear that's brought up. Or maybe it's the death of a loved one. Where in the natural world, we like to find that comfort in the heavy trials of life. Where do we find those? In the natural world. Well, as we come into our study for tonight, we're going to find the disciples are in a very heavy situation. During the Passover meal, Jesus has just said, you know, he sat everybody down. He said, one of you guys, one of you that I love, that maybe you've walked around with me for 3+ years, one of you is going to betray me. And I'm sure all the disciples that were in the room thought back on those moments when they had doubted Jesus. Maybe they weren't living up to his expectations or doing the healings or the outreach or following him as close. Maybe they even had moments where they doubted Jesus' miracle because they weren't there. I'm sure these disciples quickly remembered these moments, even doubting, is this really the Messiah? they might have asked themselves that night, is that me? Is Jesus talking about me? Am I the betrayer? Then Jesus dropped another bomb on him. He said, I'm going to leave you soon. And where I'm going, man, you cannot go. You cannot follow. I'm sure for them, they felt abandoned. What? After 3 years? 3 years of providing for us and walking around with us, of telling us kind of what to do and where to go and what town we're going to. After 3 years, you're suddenly going to leave? Of course, Peter quickly says, Lord, man, I will follow you anywhere. But then Jesus said, Peter, man, you're going to deny me 3 times. And even though you were there at every key moment in my ministry, to where he saw the raising of Lazarus from the dead, he was there at the transfiguration of Christ when he was lifted up into the heavens and the heavens opened up and Moses and Elijah were there and God spoke. He was there and he says, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. This is where they're at, betrayal. They're feeling abandonment, denial by one of their key leaders. This is the hearts of the disciples right now. They were confused. Their whole lives were being turned upside down. They were discouraged and maybe even heartbroken. Well, at the beginning of chapter 14 that Mike did so well of covering last week, Jesus knows exactly what they're feeling. So in verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? He says, believe in also in me. Have no doubt, these disciples hadn't lost their faith. They still believed in God, but sometimes, I'll tell you, in those hard moments of life, I'm talking about in heavy grief, in great trial, our belief in God, man, there's times it just doesn't seem to be enough. Have you ever felt that broken in your life? Where it feels like, man, Lord, I believe, but like the father of the son that had the spirit, the unclean spirit in him. You know, Jesus asked him, you know, do you believe that God can heal you? Our God can do anything. Do you believe? He says, Lord, I believe, but man, help me in my unbelief. Have you ever been there in those great times of trial? Well, tonight, Jesus is going to give them exactly the comfort they need. Jesus will give them and us 5 things to bring us comfort and clarity in the midst of severe hardship. So, are you ready? We'll be covering tonight verses 15 through 31. Let's begin. Verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It almost seems strange that Jesus would bring this up first when he's trying to comfort them, right? If you love me, keep my commandments. See, Jesus knew that there was only one thing that could keep them from being comforted by God. And it wasn't their lack of faith. It wasn't their lack of belief. Jesus wanted to make sure that there wasn't sin that had not separated them from being healed. Jesus said, man, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, it's our love for Jesus that is demonstrated by us keeping his commandments. Now, does that mean that we don't love Jesus if we sin? Is that what he's saying? No. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans that all have sinned, believer and non-believer, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that none are righteous, no, not one, except Jesus. The question, though, we must always ask when we come to sin is, am I being convicted by the Holy Spirit to repent when I do sin? See, God's laws and commandments, they're not there to point out our failings, our flawed behaviors. God's commandments are there to just keep us safe and to keep us on the righteous paths of God. Now, men, be honest with me. How many of you have ever turned the wrong way on a one-way street? Ever gone down the wrong way? Yeah, a lot of us have. I know I have. My wife, of course, when I do it, my wife screams. But then what do? You turn around quickly, right? And it's all to keep ourselves safe. The same thing happens when we sin. We find ourselves going down a one-way street. Well, what do? You quickly turn around. We repent and get back on the right road. See, Jesus, he loves us very deeply, and he wants us to have this rich, fulfilling type of life. To do that, we believe in him. We show our love for him by listening to him and then keeping his commandments. In this first verse, Jesus wanted to remind his disciples that his commandments are there not to punish us, not to hold something over us that, you slipped, that angels come up here, take notes, you know? He's not there taking notes of everything we've done wrong, but he's there to keep us safe and free from living in sin that would separate us from God. See, it's our obedience, keeping his commandments, that are a sign that we love Jesus and we put our full trust in him. Verse 15 again, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. Notice that word, with you, and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, Jesus said. I will come to you. So, point number one of comfort. Jesus provides comfort to those finding it hard to believe by providing a supernatural helper. The word helper here is, in some of your translations, is known as comforter. In Greek, it's the paraclete or parakletos. Anyway, it simply means someone that is summoned to provide aid in one's time of need. Now, we all like helpers, don't we? We like helpers that are going to help us move our furniture, right? That help us move our apartments. We all need helpers to clean our teeth and do our checkups. We all need those types of helpers in our life. But I'll tell you, the helper that God provides is so much more. We know this helper or this comforter to be than the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of like a spoiler alert. He tells her later in this passage that that's who the helper is. But, yeah, I'll let the cat out of the bag right now for now. Look at how this helper sent by God, though, is described. Jesus says, he will abide with you. For how long does it say? How long will he abide? Forever, right? This isn't a friend that helps you move some furniture or paint your house, but when the job's done, he goes home, right? Well, this helper that God sends, man, he's with us forever, always providing help, always providing wisdom and counseling and comfort and guidance that we need. This helper is also called, look at it, the Spirit of Truth. See the wisdom, help, and guidance the Spirit gives. Man, it's always perfect. It's always pure, and it's always righteous. We can't go wrong listening and following his guidance. Other helpers that try and help us solve our financial problems. Oh, I know, put all your savings on black, That will help. Hey, if it hits black, all your worries are over. Bad advice, right? You know, some of those people trying to help us, they mean well, but they're not the same as this helper sent by God, whose motives are always pure, whose direction and guidance is always right. The Holy Spirit abides in every believer, and he is a supernatural helper. Jesus says the world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. See, only those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus knows the Holy Spirit because he's dwelling in us. But Jesus says, but you know him, for he dwells with you. Interesting, huh? Jesus says, he dwells with you and will be, that is later, in you. Jesus says, you know this helper. You know why? Because you know me. I have been that helper dwelling with you these last 3 years with you. And one day soon, the Holy Spirit will be dwelling in you. We know this day to be described in Acts chapter 2 as the day of Pentecost, right? When the Holy Spirit is poured out on all his people. The Spirit of truth is there dwelling now in the heart of every believer, providing the help, comfort, and guidance sent by the Father to help us in time of need. Point one, Jesus provides comfort to those finding it hard to believe by providing a supernatural helper. Be comforted, Jesus said. I will not leave you orphans. He knew exactly their thoughts. I'm not abandoning you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Not only will I return to you, Jesus said, but one day soon my Spirit of truth will abide in you. This should bring us comfort and also in our great time of need, shouldn't it? We are never alone. No matter what trial you're going through in life, no matter what burden you're holding on to, no matter what grief, man, you're feeling at the time, man, you are never going through it alone. And he is not only with us, the Spirit of God is in us. He is our supernatural helper in time of need. But we must first seek his supernatural wisdom and guidance and healing. And if you're like me, to quit trying to fix everything by my way and my human ways, my natural ways. See, he is our supernatural helper in time of need, but we have to ask him for his help and surrender to his will. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Verse 19, Jesus says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And that day you know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whew. Did you catch that promise of God? Did you catch it? Look at it. Because I live, you will live also. Point number two, Jesus provides comfort to those finding it hard to believe by providing a supernatural life. See, a natural life is one that when the body dies, man, life is over. Like the song, I kind of grew up with it back in the 60s. My dad used to play it all the time and had this woman with a sultry voicing, is that all there is? Is that all there is? So let's go dancing and bring out the booze and have a ball, if that's all there is, right? Guys, remember that song? But see, that's not all there is. God provides us comfort to all of us because we know the truth. And we know the truth because Jesus lives. We will live also. Jesus just finished telling them in verse 2 of this chapter, he said, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." We are forever alive in Christ because he lives. We sing in the choir. I don't know if you've sung the song. It says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives." Jesus said, "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Yes, it's true, Jesus said. In just a very short time, you're not going to see me anymore. But you will, that is future tense, see me. That is, you will see me again when I come to take you to your eternal home. At that day, man, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. See, we may all have moments in our life when we get like these disciples, where we become confused, even dazed, maybe even stunned, paralyzed, to where, man, it's hard to just step out of the door. We have our doubts on, what is God doing? What's going on? Or we may ask, why does the life of a believer have to be so difficult? In those moments, Jesus says, find comfort that God promises us a supernatural life that far exceeds anything that this world has to offer, far exceeds anything that this world could throw at us, including taking our life. We have not only a supernatural helper to come beside us, to help us, comfort us, and guide us on those rough roads. We have been promised a supernatural life that far exceeds the limitations of our physical body. But also, number 3, we are given a supernatural relationship with God. Look at verse 21. Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." I was again reminded of a song. Sorry about all the songs, guys. I love music. I listen to it all the time, but it's called The Father's Love. Do you guys know that one? Father's Love. And it goes like this: how wonderful the Father's love. The Father's love for us, that he would send his only Son to come and rescue us. He has saved us, called us blameless, guides us now and will sustain us. Oh, how wonderful the Father's love. See, Jesus reminded his disciples in this upper room that we keep those things closest to the heart that are of greatest value to us. But before we can keep God's commandments, look at what Jesus says we need first. Look at that in verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them. It is he who loves me. See, we have to first have God's commandments before we can keep them. We need to know what they are, right? In other words, we have to know the guidelines God has established for our lives before we can follow them, right? If someone tells you to follow the roadmap but doesn't give you a map to follow, how do you know which way to go? That's the roadmap we follow. So the idea is, men, always be getting into God's word. We need God's roadmap to know where to go and what direction to point our lives. We need also God's rule book so we'll stay out of harm's way, have a safe, fruitful drive and life. And our love for Jesus is seen on how well we keep those commandments. How well we, shall we say, keep on the road, right? How when we get turned around, we repent and return. And we keep those things close to our heart that are of greatest value in our life. If we don't value them, though, we don't keep them. We toss them, right? But if we value our relationship with Jesus, we keep close his commands. As we show our love for Jesus, it is that person that our Heavenly Father loves. Jesus says, "And he who loves me, he will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Then in verse 22, Judas, we're told not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He, though, who does not love me, does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Judas here, by the way, was a fairly common name in those days. We're not told exactly which Judas this was, we're told that this was not Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. Some scholars feel that this was Judas, James's brother, or Jesus's half-brother. I personally don't quite buy that, only because what I remember of Scripture and the way I feel reading the whole of God's word is that Jesus' family, his brothers and sisters, really didn't come to faith until after his death and resurrection. Then they kind of went, "Whoa, yeah, my brother, he is the Messiah," right? After he's resurrected and he shows himself plainly. But Scripture doesn't really tell who this Judas is. I personally just think it was another man, another disciple named Judas. But Judas's question was really very plain. "Why is it that we can see and understand that you are the Christ, that you are the Messiah, and yet the rest of the world does not see you?" That word manifest means to be revealed or to be made known. Now, Jesus had just finished saying, "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." Judas was asking, "Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large?" And Jesus' simple reply was, "All who love me will do what I will say. They will know me firsthand by the Spirit that comes in them and dwells in them. They will know that I am who God calls me to be." And he says, "My Father loves everyone who loves me, and then he will come and abide with him." See, we are not only comforted in times of great grief by having a supernatural healer in the Holy Spirit, by being promised a supernatural life in eternity in heaven, but also our supernatural relationship with God. See, those that love Jesus and keep close his word, it says our Heavenly Father, man, he's going to love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. But he who does not love me, does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. See, Jesus offers this supernatural relationship with God. This should comfort us, man, to know that we have a special relationship with God the Father. We are his chosen people. We are his adored people. We are chosen before the foundations of the world. He knew us even while we were being knitted together in our mother's womb. He knows that intimately, that personally. And now he says, I want a relationship with you. Come, enter into this relationship. Let my Holy Spirit fill you and dwell in you so that I might be with you forever. To me, it's pretty cool what Jesus said. He said, we will come to him and make our home with him. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That when we believe, God first comes to us and makes his home in us. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. See, God, through the Holy Spirit, sets up his home in us. Then one day, man, when this old, worn out, broken tent, tired back, tired legs, gets worn out, and we go home, man, we get our new body, eternal in the heavens, not made with human hands. We should be deeply comforted in times of grief and trial by this truth. But there's one more. Look at verse 25. Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will, what's that word? Teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. John tells us here precisely who this Helper is. Yes, the Helper is the Holy Spirit, right? And Jesus tells us again that this Holy Spirit is sent by God, and it is he who will be the one to teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. So the fourth way Jesus comforts his disciples is that he will provide them with a supernatural teacher. Now, I don't know about you in your life, but I've had some pretty good, but also some pretty bad teachers. Anybody had some bad teachers in college, high school? Men that just either, you know what? The ones that put me to sleep weren't bad teachers. They were probably good teachers, but it was boring subject, like political science. I'm sorry, just not my thing. Being honest, had to take it 3 times at Long Beach State to get through it. But that was more me. That I wouldn't call those bad teachers, but the bad ones are ones that don't care about the students. Put in the time, they get up there, here's the lecture, here's the paper, do your notes, read the book, here's the test. They really don't want to teach. Those are bad teachers. They don't want to instruct you. They don't want to give you a chance or lift you up. You're late three times and you're kicked out of the class. It's at, no matter what goes on, right? Those are bad teachers. Well, we have a supernatural teacher. See, a natural teacher, he just pours information into you. And then he hopes someday that some of that information, that it will stick. But if you're like me, let's say you have that history teacher. You'll study, 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 and memorize, 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 do everything, take the test, then poof, it's gone. If that's not information that I'm going to be needing right away, most of it is forgotten. When it comes, though, to valuing God's word, I personally have found it very hard to memorize these days. As I've gotten older, maybe those they say the synapse gaps kind of start separating, and there's a lot of reasons it could happen, maybe from my wild upbringing that, you know, too many drugs, too many pills, too much pot, who knows, alcohol. But I just know it's hard for me to memorize. But that's the great thing about having a supernatural teacher. See, the Holy Spirit not only pours God's word and understanding into us, but the Holy Spirit, look at it, teaches us all things and brings to our remembrance all the things that God taught us. Now, how many of you have found that to be true? That when you're out there fellowshipping with a brother and, man, they're going through a tough time and you're praying together and working together, and then suddenly, boom, Spirit of God just speaks a scripture to you. Maybe it's something you haven't looked at in months, and yet God brings to remembrance that phrase. And even though maybe you never memorized it, He pours into you. See, that's what the Spirit of God does as a supernatural teacher. You don't have to remember it all. But we do, men, have to do our part and be washed with God's word every day, right? So Jesus offers these comforts to the disciples, a supernatural helper, life, a relationship, a supernatural teacher. Now there's one more comfort Jesus offers his disciples. Number five, a supernatural peace. Verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." Notice how Jesus said, "Peace I leave you." See, Jesus is not taking the peace of God that they've known for 3 years with him. Jesus leaves his peace, the full shalom of God with them. I'm sure the disciples had known this peace of God whenever they were in Jesus' company. Jesus cared for them, talked to them, counseled them, encouraged them, exhorted them. Jesus kept them fed, provided adequate shelter, clothing, gave them that, that agape love, that unconditional love and acceptance for who they were, like maybe they had never experienced anywhere in the world. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace." The peace only Jesus can know, being intimately attached to the Father God. My peace, a supernatural peace that comes from knowing and trusting fully in God. My peace, not as the world gives, do I give to you. See, the world cannot know this peace because it doesn't know God. It's a peace of God, knowing first that, man, he's always on the throne, right? It's a peace of God, knowing God is always in control. He's always sovereign. It's the peace of God, knowing that God is always good. He always loves us. There's never a time when he doesn't want our good or that he is doing something evil. He's always caring about us, loving us. And it's the peace of God, knowing that God has a plan and a purpose for our life. Jesus offers these five areas of comfort to his troubled disciples, promising, number one, a supernatural helper. Man, he says, it's coming your way. The Holy Spirit is coming, so be ready for him. Number two, you have a supernatural life, an eternity planned in God's presence. Man, it's just a breath away. Number three, you have a supernatural relationship with God. You're not going to be left orphans, but God will make his home your home. And for right now, God will find his home in you. Number four, you will have a supernatural teacher in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am no longer with you, so let the Spirit of truth be your teacher in life. Number five, you now have a supernatural peace that comes from knowing and trusting in God. Therefore, Jesus says once again in the second half of verse 27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. See, Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. He is the source of all real peace that we have in this world and the next. When we have Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we should have nothing in this world that should trouble us, not even the threat of death. But reality is sometimes it does, right? Sometimes it builds up, life does, and the tension, the anxiety builds up. That's why we have to quit doing things by natural terms. We need to start living in the supernatural. Now, I know we've repeated it many times in our men's study, but this world, it's not our home. We are all pilgrims just passing through. This truth tells us not to worry about anything. The things of this world, man, they're going to come and go. Man, some things are just going to burn. But what lasts for eternity, man, are the things we do for the kingdom of God, the relationships that we make, and the conversations we have to bring people into the family of God. Those are the things that have eternal value. Jesus truly is the truth. The things of this world cannot assure us any security because Jesus is our only living hope. See, it's the ultimate goal of every believer to live in heaven with God. This is simply what Jesus is saying here. He says, rejoice with me. I'm just about to reach my final destination. Soon I will be back in heaven where I came from and be reunited with the Father. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's in control and God's will be done, both in my life and in yours. Verse 29, let's finish it up. And now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. If finishes with, arise, let us go from here. Now, this last phrase, arise, let us go from here, may sound like they're leaving the upper room, but reality is they're just starting to prepare to leave. We'll see in chapters 15, 16, and 17, they haven't really left the upper room yet. Some scholars say that they were just preparing to leave the room, or maybe they were having this next conversation in these three chapters as they were headed toward Gethsemane. In this chapter, see, Jesus has been preparing them for these brutal events that are about to come. Jesus didn't want them to be overcome with defeat and despair, but rather that they would remember what he had told them so they could see that God, man, he's still in control. His will is still being done. Jesus' death on the cross, man, it's a victory, right? Not a defeat. But Jesus tried to tell them before it comes, he says, that when it does come to pass, that they might still believe. Jesus was doing exactly what the Father had commanded of him. Yet those that witnessed it, what happened? Do you remember? Many of them just scattered, right? They were afraid. They were caught up. They forgot what Jesus said. Their unbelief got in the way. They started to live life in the natural instead of in the supernatural. Reality, trials in life, it can be hard sometimes to believe in God's plan. When we're faced with the reality of the situation, that's when God says, though, we must trust and believe in him the most. The natural comforts of this world give us little to help us with these difficult times. But God gives us his supernatural comfort. God gives us a supernatural helper in the Holy Spirit. God promises a supernatural life with him in heaven. God gives us a supernatural relationship with him as he dwells and works through us. God gives us a supernatural teacher through the guidance of the Spirit of truth. And God gives us a supernatural peace that comes from knowing and trusting in him. So men, we have to ask that question tonight. Are you living in the natural flow of this world? Are you being overcome by fear, worry, anxiety? Is stress starting to stress you out? Or are you ready to kind of step up your relationship with Jesus and start living in the supernatural, where our heart, he says, no longer has to be troubled, nor do we ever have to live in fear? Because, say it with me, men, because if God is for us, who can be against us? Say it with me again. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word of truth, spoken from the Spirit of truth. And Father, we need to value that truth and truly keep it close to our heart, Father. Help us to value it and see the wisdom in it. And Father, we need that revealed to us through your Spirit. We need right now your anointing, Father, as your men. Because, man, the world wants to teach us its truths. And, man, we want to live with you, Father. We want to be so dependent upon you, Lord, that we, like Peter said, where else would we go? You're the only one that holds the words of eternal life. Father, help us to be committed to allow your word to wash over us every day. Father, help us not to be ever so caught up in the daily activities of life that we get too busy to spend our time with you. Father, help our lives to truly reflect who you are and who we should be as your child. Help us to speak in love. Give us patience and endurance, perseverance. And Father, help our faith in you and our belief in you to go stronger every day. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.